that puts the covenant of a rav over that of a father. That it seems Pashit that the same and the sept in Shas, Rashi says in Yevamos that it talks about the rigla of Damiroim. It's referring to getting together on the yotzeit of a rav to discuss this Torah. And there's also Gemara Nedarim that talks about fasting on the outside of one's father or one's Rebbe, which I believe is the makar for the whole concept of fasting on the outside of a parent. So Isaac Sher says that besides the Kal V'Chomer of the Gemara, that father brings you L'Chayilim Azeh, the Rebbe brings you L'Chayilim Abah, that when it comes to Mechabde La'ach HaMoisai, there are additional reasons to put the covenant of a rav over the covenant of a father. And one of his reasons, he says, is a number of cheshbainas, but he says one reason is that a father does not lose his identity as your father if you weren't Mechabedim after death. Whereas a Rebbe, if you're not going to maintain the covid for the Rebbe after death, the identity kind of flies away. You lose the Rebbe that you had. But here we have to understand, so what does this mean exactly? There are various dinim of Mechabda Lachamoysa that are relevant for parents, and I'm not sure how each of them would be Nageya or Rav. You have to go through the list and see which are Nageya, which aren't, and consult with the Rav about the specifics. But what is the Mechabda Lachamoysa in terms of Oymer Shmua Mishmoy, in terms of learning his Torah, which is actually the example that the what Rashi describes in Yevamos, is the understanding that a Rav is more than just, I think Western culture has trained us to relate to a Rav as something practical, as something pragmatic. There are specific functions that a Rav is supposed to do, services that a Rav is supposed to provide. He's supposed to officiate here, he's supposed to give drashas, he's supposed to... Anybody in this Kehila understands that a Rav is, I shouldn't say so much more than that, a Rav is something else entirely. A Rav is something else entirely. A Rav is, as the Rav has been discussing, it's our link to Sinai. It's our link to Sinai. It's a conduit of Hashem to us. It's a conduit of Sinai to us. And this is something that should remain after the Rav is not here anymore, after the Rav has moved on to the Olam HaEmes. On the contrary, the Gemara in Shabbos talks about how great people, their koyach is often enhanced after they're not here anymore. Their koyach is enhanced after they're not here anymore. There are ruchnius reasons for it, and there are also practical reasons for it, for the fact that the koyach is enhanced. For us today, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, David HaMelech are not just great people that we had in our past, but they are constant, ongoing sources of inspiration. David is not a man from the past. David is a current entity, which we draw tons from. And this is the avoid of Mechabda La'ach HaMoisai. This isn't something automatic. Mechabda La'ach HaMoisai means that we create a reality of continuing to receive the hashpa, of continuing to grow under the Rav we had while he was still alive. The truth is, we've talked about this other times, kavod does not mean, it's not an issue of ben odom achavera. It's not an issue of, you know, it's only right that you should treat him respectfully. Every person in your life, you should treat respectfully. There's a special din of kvod rabbah. Kavod really means putting yourself into a certain place. Putting yourself into a place of a zone, of the you know, if we'll talk in more practical terms, instead of trying to give the abstract terms and then translating it into practical terms. I'll give some practical terms. You had a Rav who's not alive anymore. So that Rav answered Shilas. That Rav answered Shilas. You can't ask him those Shilas anymore. Okay, so that's a thing of the past. That's already a thing of the past. He gave drushes, he's not giving those drushes anymore. That's a thing of the past. But if the Rav is really something that was connecting you to a higher place, bringing you to a higher place, we take active efforts to keep ourselves in that same place. And that is done by perpetuating the things that he brought into our life. Perpetuating the things that brought into our life, and thereby, covet means that we're putting ourselves onto his track. We're keeping ourselves in line with his hashpa'ah. On one level, this might mean you've heard things from him, keep them alive in the home. Even if we'll just illustrate it in terms of chinuch. Everybody had their experiences with Rav Milinowitz. To keep those experiences alive and a part of the everyday talk in the house. Lessons that he taught, dictums, klalim for life, to have them a live, regular part of what's going on in the home. For me, concept of having a picture of a Rav, of a gadol on your wall. What's the idea there? Is there anything more to it than sentiment? Sense of association? There is. La'aniyus daiti. La'aniyus daiti is actually what Rabbeinu Yoina describes as the whole function of kvod chacham. Kvod chachamim is putting ourselves in a place where the top of my pyramid are the talmid chacham. The top of my pyramid, the pedestal in my life, in my home, is the people who represent Ratzon Hashem to me, the people who are conveying Ratzon Hashem to me. It's not just another need that I have in my life. I have to know, what are the halachas? What do I need to do in such a situation? That I ask my Rav. What do I do when I have a problem with the electricity? I call an electrician. But it's putting myself in a place where I am under the conduits of Sinai. These are the highest things in my life. This is what I put on a pedestal. And this is what I train my children to understand. Both in order to illustrate our own values, values that we should be implanting in ourselves, it's good to talk in terms of chinuch, what we want our children to understand. But the truth is that we turn backward and apply it to ourselves. I'm not necessarily pushing how you should decorate your home. I'm just using it as an illustration. You have a picture of a Rebbe of yours in your home. You're making a statement. This is what we revere. This is what we revere. This is what we take pride in. This is what we want adorning our walls. Now, it doesn't have to necessarily adorn the wall in that physical sense. But by permeating the home with the memories of the Rav, with experiences of the Rav, you draw on it as you're trying to get different points across. We are keeping him alive. And this is the covet. The covet is that we're putting ourselves into his zone. We're keeping ourselves under that conduit of his hashpah. We find in a number of places where the Chachamim said, if you want me to teach you something, so do something to me. Serve me in some way. This is the concept of Shimush Chachamim that the Rav was talking about before. Where you put yourself into a place where I'm on the bottom and he's on top, that already makes it a receptacle. The hashpah from Sinai doesn't go straight. Hashpah from Sinai goes down. It goes down. And therefore, you want to put yourself under whatever that source of hashpah is. You want to put yourself under it by actively putting it over you. And here, just to put this into a more practical ruchniyistic level, because up to now what we were talking about was a little bit more symbolic, a little bit more representative, starting with the picture, and even in terms of keeping the lessons and the stories alive in the home, in our lives. But to actually come back and remind ourselves, again, we don't want this to be something of the past. We don't want it to be a piece of our history. We want it to be something in the present. So what were the things that he was pushing? To give ourselves a boost in those areas. What were the things that he was pushing? Are they going to be that period of my life, a previous chapter in my life? Or is it a reality of Mechabdeh L'Achamoisoi? A Rav is still on the pedestal, still at the top of my pyramid, even if he's not here now. And therefore, I still consider myself bound by the things that he was pushing me to do in my life. Know that he was very, very keen on his project. I think he got to a few homes. I don't think he got to as many homes as he wanted to. But talking about the learning at night, he would sit and complain. Okay, so you come home at six, you come home at seven, you need a little bit of a break, you need to do some homework with the kids. How do you justify all the hours until 11:30? How do you justify all the hours? And he said, he actually went to a number of homes. We wanted to go from home to home to sit down with husband and wife and say, okay, I don't know how many, what percentage of the Keli actually go. I see some nods, some understanding that he did, these are the people he actually got to. But to sit down and say, okay, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9, okay, we have discovered a window of time. That time I'm claiming for the Beis Medrash. He's not going to sit down with you and your wife anymore. Can you do it yourself? Can you bind yourself to what he considered the things that he should be pushing? Shmuel Katz made a very, very hush of a point in his Hesped in the Shiva that also he did not have a uniform psak. Different people, it's the same shaila, would get different answers. Why? Because he wasn't only paskening what is the halach, he was paskening what is Ratzon Hashem for you. What is Ratzon Hashem for you? And there was a person who he wanted to push himself more. You should be pushing yourself more than the other person. Anybody, and this is already something that is more global, more uniform. Shas Hadchak played in a lot less in Rav Malinowitz's psukim than in many other Rabbanim's psukim, right? Don't give me Shas Hadchak. Shas Hadchak, Hefsid Merube, is a very, very chash of a factor in halacha. But he undermined it. He undermined it a lot. Because he was trying, this was another point that he was constantly pushing at, and it very, very much expressed itself in psak. And his psak into individuals was, you're in a comfort zone. Break a little bit out of it. That's right. Do something that goes against your grain because you can get a little further. You can be a little higher. Take the uncomfortable route. Take the uncomfortable route. I got a number of psukim like that. Shailas that I asked that really put me to the test. I'm like, really? Yeah. Why not? So here, when we're talking about mechabda la'achamoisa in terms of keeping ourselves under that hashpah, we have to be able to take that and push ourselves to that. Push ourselves to that. So we spoke about it on a number of levels. Spoke about Mechabda Lachamoise in terms of keeping him alive in the talk in our house. We want him to be a part of the fabric of our families. A Rebbe that we had should be a part of the fabric of our families as a neches, as an asset that the family now owns. It's not part of the family's past. It's an asset that the family owns in terms of the memories, in terms of the lessons, in terms of the content of the drashas, in terms of personal experiences. But, and perhaps this is the toughest part of it, is that aspect of being able to push ourselves to the things that he was pushing toward. And here with Rishus, I want to go a little bit of a step further. I'm asking the Rav for Mechila in advance. I think that in Rav David's 50 years of Rabbanus, he's been humiliated publicly worse than I'm about to do. By the Rav's confession, Shaykh to a different door. This is what the Rav expressed to me a couple of times. What Rayel Adavar? Many people in the Kehillah have told him that too. So it's not only his personal assessment. Others agree. And I want to approach that from a different angle also. When you look at the photocopies, which people don't make those kinds of photocopies anymore, of little bits and pieces of pages, there are much more technological and efficient ways of doing it. And the Rav said that he wouldn't, was scared to take a picture. I would be mefakbik if the Rav really knew how to use the camera. But for a person today to be in today's world and not be a part of today's world. Okay. But for a person to be in today's world and not really know how to respond to an email and not to be a part of that world, let's realize it's more than just not being a part of that world. in order for that to be real, you have to be part of a different world. You have to be part of a different world. It's a davar pashut. You have to be part of a different world. And what world is that? What world is that? It's a world of, it's true, it's a different dar. And you can get Rabbanim who are not from a different dar. But realize to take advantage. Take advantage of the opportunity to still be exposed to other dars. It's a very, very great treasure to still have that open exposure where you are, like we said before, a Rav, a Rebbe, is not just a person who's more learned than you and sharing the information. There are Rabbanim like that. You can get such a Rav. You can get Rabbanim who are not as learned as you. But we're talking about, again, like we said before, from Sinai down to us. Someone who's closer to Sinai in terms of the height and to be able to put yourself under that and to receive that hashpah. And here, this is a point that I want to make. This also, there's an active element to this. There's an active element to this. You hear the Rav's drushes? It's not enough to hear the Rav's drushes and know what he said. You want to expose yourself to the Rav's drushes. And again, I'm asking Mechila here. Expose yourself to the Rav's drushes, I mean, do shimush. Don't just learn. Do shimush. You want to expose yourself to the opportunities that are being presented. You want to expose your families to the opportunities that are being presented. Expose yourself to what's going on. Note to your children the fact that 4 out of 5 weeks, maybe every week, I'm not sure if I should say every week, the Rav is quoting his father. This is a point to note, but it can go over our heads. The message of the drasha is the content of the drasha, but there are so many other things you have to be attuned to in order to utilize this opportunity to really, yes, be drawing from a place that's closer to Sinai. This is a lesson and something that should be pointed out to ourselves and pointed out to children. When the Rav pulls out the notebooks, so it could just be viewed as a cute habit. But so often, I want to take a step back and see, one minute, what am I really seeing here? You're seeing decades of encounters with Delhi Yisrael, and how every single time afterwards, immediately, it's all written up. And this is what you're seeing when you see those notebooks come out with the yellowed papers. This is something also. Don't just hear what's being said, see what's happening. And convey that further. Convey that further. Utilize this as chinuch for yourself and chinuch for children also. Other things, which, again, when you're actually living with it in real time, just it might seem like personality aspects. The ashikach to the kahanim afterwards when the Rav complains that the kahanim don't give him the time and wonders why nobody else does it. So why don't I do it? Because it's below my dignity to then go and copy. That's all. It's a covered issue. So since the Rav was my ear, that I tried to do it quietly. Why don't I say Ashukayach loud like the Rav does? Well, I'm going to be copying. It's a covered. It's a pride problem. But this is something to note and to bring home. We should be copying it. This is something to note and to bring home. Yes, it's something from a different dar. Things from a different dar are not available enough to us. And we need that connection. We're sliding down so fast away from Sinai. And that's a big discussion in itself. If we can dig in a little bit, and we have the means of digging in a little bit and slowing that slide, it's something to take advantage of. And this is something I would suggest, to note different little things which on the spot might seem like different, to use the word, it's the wrong word to use, but cute personality things, which are actually not, which are actually very profound points to note. On Simchas Torah, I davened the Vasikin Minyan, and toward the end of Kriyas HaTorah, I saw the Rav standing on Rifayim, looking a little lost. So I came over to see if there's anything going on. There are no Kaihanim in Shul. There are no Kaihanim in Shul. Where can I go to daven that I have Birkas Kaihanim? Rav went to daven and finished Shmua. Simchas Torah. Came in close to Baruch Hu. These are things to note. These are things to note. And when you hear Agav Urcha in the drushes, things about listening to shiurim for 4 or 5 hours at a time, is that what it was? 4 or 5 hours at a time and things like that. These are things to note. Make notes of these things. Make notes of these things. If you can actually keep them together, these little isolated points in the notebook, you'll see together, you'll see coming together a very, very chashava work of substance. But to note these things, to be exposed, to expose yourself to these things, actively connect to them, and to utilize them in your chinuch. Take advantage of the opportunities we have. Take advantage of the exposure that we have. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should talk about Bizoicha too. We talked about Mechabdo La'acha Moisoi. There's also the element of Mechabdo L'chayov, which again, not talking now about acting with Derech Eretz. We're not talking about acting respectfully. That's not something that people of our caliber need chizuk. But covered in terms of putting yourself into that place, where this is something at the top of my pyramid. We're talking about something more profound. We're talking about a deeper, more refined level of avodah, where I'm going to actively, in the various levels of life, put this on the pedestal, put this on the top of the pyramid, so that I can taka be under it and letting it rain onto me and letting it move me back closer towards Sinai. There's a session. Thank you.